Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody. This is Denise Griffith, your partner in success. I am an online entrepreneur and I'm a virtual assistance industry expert. And today I would like to welcome you to the Online Entrepreneur Audio Interview Series. I have created this audio series to provide you with practical guidance from other very successful online entrepreneurs who will teach you the key secrets to how they build and grow their online businesses and their online presence. My intention for this series is to empower you to achieve your dreams and live a successful and very accomplished life. Today, I'm really excited because I have the privilege of being joined by Crystal Williamson. Crystal is a certified life coach. She enjoys helping small business people, coaches, virtual assistants, and other solopreneurs with their technology and computer application needs. This is important. You know, we have a lot of people who want to become VAs, and they almost don't know where to start. So Crystal's here to help you with that today. She also has a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Ask the Computer Coach. And her weekly show explores the ins and the outs of what you need to know to get your new business up and running. So Crystal stumbled into computer training in 1986 when she was an administrative assistant, as a lot of people do who become coaches and VAs. She was with a nonprofit organization. She quickly became computer savvy, and that was pre-Windows day. Me too. Crystal and I go way back to MS-DOS. In fact, I think we both still speak MS-DOS, which is kind of embarrassing. Her computer, I know, Crystal, I hear you laughing. Those were the days, weren't they?
Right.
Oh, it was awful. So she quickly became, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, it was horrible.
It was. I had manual after manual after manual. And, you know, somebody would ask me something and I would translate that into MS-DOS. It was almost like trying to speak Spanish.
Yes.
It
yeah.
was pretty crazy. But anyway, all that being said, you know, she, her computer prowess spread through the company and high-level management started paying a lot of attention. Soon after that, she was answering computer queries from the CFO, the CEO, and a few senior VIPs, or vice presidents, rather. After about a year, the computer trainer position opened up, and she took off. So as you all know, I am widely known as a virtual assistant, but what you may not know about me is that I'm also a web developer, and I own a website design and development firm called Your Office on the Web. In fact, I purchased my first computer back in the prehistoric MS-DOS days, and I had to have it. It was a $3,000 machine, and y'all, all it did was word processing. It was a very expensive filing cabinet, but I had to have it. So all that being said, I love to chat with people who share my technical background, and I'm very excited about what Crystal has to share with you today. She'll help you get your online business set up from a technical standpoint. Very, very important stuff. So Crystal, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it, and it's a privilege to have you here. And I really, really appreciate your willingness to share what you know with our listeners.
It is so great to be here, Denise. Wonderful to meet you again. And it's great when you were talking about it. It made me reminisce, of course, about all those days with MS-DOS. And I was the only person who could figure things out. And I was both looked at. It was almost like being a circus sideshow attraction. I was an oddity, but I was pretty personable, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how we, just as you said, how we become coaches. A lot of the assistants are very much, we can juggle a lot of things at one time, and not just work tasks and projects and information, but also we could juggle personalities of the people we're working with. So some
right.
people like things in one way, and some people like things in another, and I see people smiling already. I'm like, yep, we can identify with that. Yeah, at that nonprofit organization, it was pretty hairy at times, but it was a wonderful testing ground, wonderful, wonderful, because you got to do anything you wanted, and you could take off with it, which is great for me, for the coaching.
Yeah, I've worked with nonprofits. They're a different breed of people.
Absolutely, absolutely. They love what you do, and they say, you know, great, can we do it for less money? And a lot of times you can.
No, free. They want free.
Very true.
There's no money involved with a nonprofit.
That's true. But they do, isn't it funny? Nonprofit people quite often get the highest quality employees.
Well,
very, very well addressed, well adept at what they do. And,
well, nonprofits attract people who are interested in helping other people.
Absolutely.
So it's just a natural fit.
Absolutely. And that's how I got into coaching. That was kind of my first job after college. And I was very interested, of course, in computers, was a bona fide computer geek, and just grew with everything from MS-DOS to Windows 3.1, and now I have a Vista machine. Yes, I said Vista. I'm sorry. I said a four-letter word on Blog Talk Radio, but I do have a Vista machine. But so I've really grown with the business, and I've seen the way people look differently at the way technology is. Years ago, not even the 80s, but even the mid-90s, 10 or 12 years ago, you didn't need certain computers, technology, you didn't need certain applications to actually start your own business. Now, if you don't have it, what's going on? People who are just... Mm-hmm. They have just a website for their family, you know, maybe for a reunion. I have a friend I spoke to yesterday. They're having a reunion. They had to have all of these things, and I'm helping them with that. Mm-hmm. And that's just a very simple family reunion. Granted, it's about 200 people, but still, we all need to connect via technology in one way or another.
There's no question about that. And to kind of go back to what you were saying earlier, when you and I both started, we were rarities in that we were women in a married field.
So. Yes.
Very much. And what I discovered about myself, did not know this, was that I actually had a scientific mind. I can tell you, I walked into a wall when I figured that out. I never knew it. But you have to have a linear thinking, left brain type of a mind to do what we do. The other side of that is you also have to be very, very intuitive.
Yes.
Which means that you can get along with your clients and help them. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, the left brain, right brain type of thing, but largely left brain. So we're going to cover a lot of material here today,
mm-hmm.
and I know that we're going to be talking about what the best technology for new businesses are and how people can best utilize it.
Yes.
So can you kind of speak to what you think the first step is for somebody, you know, who is maybe, they probably have their office set up,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've got their shredder. If y'all don't have a shredder, get a shredder.
Oh, gosh.
If you don't have a, you have to have one.
Oh, yes, and these days of security and identity theft, the shredder is so important.
Mandatory. It's mandatory.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know about you. Do you use a dual monitor setup? I couldn't survive without a dual monitor setup.
I do not have one yet. I do not, but I have had that. I have had that, and it is a joy when you have it. It really is. Because it just, of course, my dream would be to have a very large television, you know, one of these high-definition, large 30 or 40, 50-inch televisions. This way I could sit far away on the other side.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I haven't gotten there yet.
I know, neither have I. But, okay, Denise, we're getting into geekdom. We're talking
We are. We're going to lose our listeners very quickly.
Yes,
we're going to have fun, but they're going to tune out. So what is the best technology for a new business, in your opinion?
Now, it's very interesting because before you even start with, you know, we talked about shredders or other technology, you know, we might think, oh, yeah, I need a printer, I need a fax. Before you even go through all that, I'm a great believer in putting pencil to paper. yes, a person that's a technology person, I'm very much into putting pencil to paper to have kind of a first draft of what you're doing. First thing you should do is evaluate what your business is. What kind of business do you have? Do you deal with clients? Are you a holistic type person? I know people who are Reiki masters, massage therapists. So they deal with clients in different ways than virtual assistants and coaches might do, people who are attorneys, doctors who have small offices. So they deal with their clients in a different way than other businesses do. So what type of business do you have? How do you speak or communicate to your clients? Do you do it only virtually, the phone? Coaches do that a lot. A lot of coaching is over the phone. Some of it is email. Some of it is chat. So if that's the paramount, if that's the main way that you're dealing with clients, then that particular conduit should be of highest quality. You wouldn't want a little landline phone. Remember those old landline phones as opposed to the press button phones, the rotary phones? I almost forgot the name.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
you don't find those anymore?
I know. No, you
can't. I
don't
think you can buy one.
No. But I know people, you know, they might have had one for years, and it's like, oh,
right.
I have a phone already. Get the most up-to-date phone if you're going to be communicating with clients all the time. So as opposed to a phone that you hold in your hand, you might want to get one of those hands-free things. So that's something. How are you communicating with your clients? So if you're doing a lot of talking on the phone, then you should get the highest quality phone technology, telephony technology. You might want to get also Skype for talking to clients. Not only, I'm in the United States, I'm in New York, and but I also speak to people in Europe, Australia, India, actually. So if I do have a lot of international people I speak with, I might want to get the highest quality type of technology. So how do you connect with your clients? How do you speak to them in one way or another?
Well, a couple of things that we can add to that. On the phone, I really suggest that you just go and invest in a business system. And when I say invest, it shouldn't cost you more than about $150 at, say, Office Depot or Staples.
Right.
But get the phone that has a mute button, because you're going to be on a lot of calls and you may not want people to hear you yelling at the cat. I do
very
yell at
true.
My cats. So, you know, get one that has a speaker, and also get one that has a do not disturb button.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but there are days when I have to just put my phone on do not disturb, because even though I may not be scheduled to pick up that phone while I'm working on client time, if it is ringing incessantly, after a while I'm biting the cord. I'm so irritated. So, you know, make sure that you have those functions that can allow you to work and that allow your voice to be heard, and have all those little features that you really, really need. You may want a two-line phone. That may be something that you need as well. And to
That's
go back
so
to the coaches, Crystal, can you make some recommendations about conference calling? Because I know a lot of coaches, I do this with my clients, we record a lot. So can you speak to that?
Absolutely. If you're doing a lot of recording, there's a couple of, well, let me put it this way. When I first started in coaching, I wanted everything that was of basically zero cost to me, you know, because I didn't want to spend too much on this business until I started to make a little money. So there's a couple of free conference calls that are pretty much of high quality that you can actually use. One is called freeconference.com, and all you have to do is sign up for a free account, and I have to... there's a certain amount of calls you can make a month. If you're only making two or three, you know, teleclasses, you're doing that a month, that is fine. They will automatically record your conference for you. So just in case I forget to click, and I do this often, oh, did I click on the record button? They'll actually automatically do it for you. So you have something for posterity for your client. So free conference is really great. There's a couple of low-cost also conference calling that is, they're great. Acrobat does one, and you can become a member of Acrobat. It does basically the same thing, a little higher end, because you can actually bring in some audio for your low-cost account, and you can actually do some editing afterward. With free conference, with the free account, you're limited to how much you can do. Okay, so it does, again, that evaluation, that assessment is very important. Are you going to need this output for your clients? Are you going to be speaking to your clients in that way? So those are just two, and there's several that are up and coming also, because they see that it's not just coaches and solopreneurs, but they're small businesses. Everyone's looking to cut corners in this economic times, but we don't want to cut quality, which is, of course, you don't want to do that. And with the internet, with the web, there's so much quality that's on there that just a person who has like a little mom and pop shop in their home can have. So you have a lot of that type of conference calling that you can have. One of the other things I wanted to speak about with, you know, when you're assessing your business, there is also, well, what is the output? Because I just talked about it when you had said about the conference call. That you might actually need to give your client after the fact. So if you're a coach, let's say, and you're doing a teleclass or on freeconference.com, how are you going to be sending them this particular output? So if you are sending them something via the internet, this is where your computer system or your email system comes into play. Are you going to be printing something out? Again, if you're a doctor or an attorney or something to that effect, how are you going to be sending them the information? Attorneys, oh my goodness, how much paper do they go through? So, you know, are you going to be doing an Adobe, a PDF of the document afterwards so the person can print it out and sign it and then fax it back to you? Are you going to be faxing things to people? So with all this type of assessment, well, you know, I speak to people in this way. I do conference calling. I speak to them on the phone. I actually print stuff out and I send to them on a regular basis. So you kind of work backwards from that. So what are the ways that you can actually, like I said, PDF something? There are some free ways that you can actually PDF something. And there are some ways that you do pay, but they have a few more options that you can do on your own. And, I kind of threw out the word PDF. If people are unfamiliar with PDF, PDF actually stands for Portable Document Format, and that's where you can actually take, let's say, a Word document, and it's almost, I don't want to say it's creating a picture, but it's kind of a non-written piece of paper, and it takes an actual copy of your document, and if you send that document to me, I really can't change anything in the document. The only thing I can do is kind of print it out, and I can sign it. I know virtual assistants use that quite a bit. They might want you, for an agreement, you might want to send that to your client and say, okay, this is our agreement, please sign it and fax it back to me, or PDF and send it back to me if needed. So because we're going to a virtual world, people have probably used PDF documents already. If you've gone, I'll give everyone a great example, and I know I'm going to see a couple of faces kind of cringing, but it's almost tax time, right? Are we getting our taxes together? I'm sorry.
You had to go there.
Yeah, I know. But January 31st is the day we have to mail everything out to, and we are going to be receiving information from all of our employers from last year. And if we're an employer, we have to do the same thing. On or before January 31st, it must be mailed out. And all of those documents we get from the IRS, we might get from those employers via email. Guess what? They're PDFs because we can't change. I would love to, but I can't change the amount of money that I might have gotten from an employer last year. I can click and click and click. Well, can't make it $150,000. Oh, well. But you know, I can see it. The only place, there are some PDF documents where you can actually click in a certain area and maybe type your name, your address, any other pertinent information. And that's when a PDF is created, that is created and it is given the particular security level. So there are certain areas in the document you can type in, but others we can't change. So that's where PDFs have come into play quite often. Like I said, particularly from IRS.gov, you will see that quite a bit over the upcoming months.
And the beauty about a PDF, too, is if you're writing, let's say, a document that you want to share on your website as a download or a very quick ebook, you can make clickable hyperlinks in it. So while somebody can print the document out or the book out, if they're viewing it online, they can actually click on your website name or you know, wherever you want to send them, and they're then taken to a new window, and you know they haven't left your document. So it's a very neat tool to have.
Absolutely, and they have really, and again, Denise, you and I have really come when PDFs were just, they were kind of, they weren't that great when they first started out. And they really were not. So I remember several years ago when I first heard the PDFs had changed, I said, well, I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me that because I remember them not being that great. And but they've really changed exponentially, and that's, of course, because the business world has really pushed them and said, you know, we want a way particularly the government, our government, the U.S. government, has said, you know, we want a way that when people get this interactive document, they can click on links, they can type, but only in certain mm-hmm. areas. And this may be an output, again, for your clients. Are you going to be giving out a lot of PDFs? Now, again, people who are virtual assistants, people who are coaches, just like you said, we have an e-book. We're sending mm-hmm. anyone our work product. I know for me, when I do computer coaching, I, at the very end, I send everyone a report of what we discussed and what our goals were, and with my recommendations. That's part of my consulting arm. So after I've assessed what kind of computer needs, technology needs you have, I send you a written report of what we've discussed. And a lot of it is, just as you said, Denise, there are links in there. So if I mm-hmm. say, you know what, a BlackBerry might be good for you, and this is the type of BlackBerry with all of these stipulations that are best for you, because this is what we discussed, there is a link on my PDF report that I sent to you, and it goes, bam, it goes right to that BlackBerry link. So if you'd like to purchase it online, it's right there. So all you have to do, oh, that's right. This is what Crystal and I talked about. Click, go right in there, put your credit card in. You can get your device within a short period of time.
Right. Your goal is always to make it easy for your client or the consumer, always. You never
absolutely.
Want them to have to hunt for information.
Yeah,
they will
absolutely.
Go somewhere else.
That's right. Absolutely, absolutely. And just as the name of your show, we're partnering with people. We just really enjoy to be part of the journey with everyone. We're a partner in your success, and we celebrate. We have that joy when you're doing well, and we help you when you feel that there's a liability that, guess what, can be turned around in any way, shape, or form. So we really partner with you. And it's just wonderful. Isn't it great when you see someone just doing, oh, it's so wonderful. Even I've had people say, but I've made so many mistakes. I said, but you're learning from them. As long as you learn from them, you can always
exactly.
move ahead.
Exactly. You know, mistakes never bother me, because you pick yourself up, you dust your knees off, and you go in another direction.
That's
mistakes
right.
Don't bother me at all. Sitting on your bottom in a corner, rocking back and forth and keening, now that bothers me.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
if you're going to go do something, I don't even care if you do it badly. Just get out there and try.
Right.
Because the
absolutely.
Next attempt will be better, and the next attempt after that will be better yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. So we've covered telephones, critical. Mm-hmm. Now let's go mm-hmm. into some of the office equipment, because I know mm-hmm. we'll get back to the computers.
Right.
We covered shredders. Mm-hmm. What kind of, you know, I have a multifunction copier, scanner,
right.
fax machine that I can't live without. And they're not that expensive anymore. I mean, when I
no.
first started out, it was like, oh, I either buy
I know.
Or
it's
I
like
buy
mortgage
like
your house. I know.
I know. I kept saying, I'll just go to Kinko's. Oh, my God. But
I know.
That's no
I
longer
know.
Necessary. So, you know, do you have some recommendations for that type of equipment?
It's interesting you talk about that, because everything we're going to talk about today, all of the hardware we're going to talk about, always goes back to your assessment, because just as you said, you're a virtual assistant, you're a CEO. Guess what? You know what? I need that for output. I need something that I can mm-hmm. just go to one place and get this great printer, fax, scanner. I don't want to drive to Kinko's at 2 o'clock in the morning, although I could. I don't want to do that. So, again, that assessment is very important. So just like you, that's why I was kind of laughing a little bit. I remember when those multi-purpose printers were, as I said, that you could mortgage your house with them.
Yeah.
They were pretty much a lot of money, and they were huge, right?
They were enormous. You had to almost have a dedicated spot in a room for the darn thing.
Right.
Then you had to run cable to it if you wanted it interfaced to your computer, which meant you had to get somebody to come in and do that. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. I did it.
Yeah.
But I was very unhappy about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny, because I have a multi-purpose, and it's so small. In fact, before that, I had a small printer, which was a little bit bigger. Mine is only like, I guess I'm looking at it now, maybe, you know, a foot by a foot, if that big. And I've had it a while. It's pretty much a workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one I had was just a little bit bigger, and it was just a printer.
Yeah, the technology is amazing. Mine is wireless. So I can see
yes.
it pretty much anywhere I want to.
That's right. And I've
the
done that, too.
Technology has really gotten remarkable. technology, listen, is on our side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody who wants to work from home, anybody, and I don't really call it working from home. I call it working in your home office,
right,
which is a different mindset altogether. Mm-hmm. But anybody who wants to do what I have done and render themselves unemployable and work for themselves, because I'm now to the point where nobody can really afford me in the corporate sector, and I don't need to go back. I won't go back. Mm-hmm. If you want to get to that point, it's easier now than it ever was. I mean, we were trailblazers, I promise you. Crystal and I were out there blazing the trail for everybody who is kind of coming along behind us. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, I got a computer science degree. I started slapping out websites. I loved it. And then I looked into this field and loved it even more. It's just a perfect fit. There's no reason that with today's technology and the tools and the systems and the programs that are out there, there's no reason why you can't work in your home office if you want to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And businesses, larger businesses, Fortune 100, 500, even Fortune up to 1,000 companies are looking to work with people. They want to, yes, and even in these economic times, they want to keep their most valued workers.
Sure.
So if somebody says, you know, I can only work 40 hours a week, but we do need you to keep and finish up some work product, how can we keep you? One of the ways is that you can have that home office, Denise, just as you said.
Telecommute.
And
absolutely.
They might say, you know, you work whatever days a week, the other days and evenings, you might be working out of your home office, which is great because you can work for an hour, do something with your family for two, however long, and then go back. And I know I've done that too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those great devices, just as you said, is that multi-purpose. I've had people who call them all-in-one also.
Mm-hmm.
It's the printer, the fax, the scanner. There's like a copier normally in the scanner. There are some, it's funny, there are some that years ago that you could get a copier, you can only make one or two copies. Now it's actually like a really nice copying machine. Of course, if you have to make like 500, 1,000 copies, then you should have a bigger workhorse, at least at this point. But, or go to Kinko's, just like
you. You can actually upload it, have them do it, go pick it up. You don't even need to go there.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? The technology really has, we don't actually have to speak with each other.
We have to, you know, have FaceTime. We don't have to do that any longer. Although it is nice to meet other people, but it's not necessary any longer.
Absolutely. It's funny, one of the first systems I ever taught was email, and this was, again, back in the very early, I think it was 1990 when I was teaching it, and one of the things people said, well, now we won't be able to talk and see each other. It's like, no, now it'll be even more special. When we actually go and speak with each other, because we have been sending each other 50 million emails a day.
Yeah.
So that multi-purpose machine, it depends, of course, again, like I said, what is your output to your clients? So again, if you need to do a lot of faxing, a lot of printing, get something that's a multi-purpose. In fact, I used to recommend to people just get a printer. You know what? Better to get one of those multi-purpose or all-in-ones. There are so many that are very good. I mean, Lexmark.
They're not expensive. They're like $150.
They're really not that expensive. And just as you said, in New York, it's funny, in New York City, not a lot of people drive, but I have seen people, they will drive to whatever, Staples, Circuit City, Office Depot, just to get the little printer, and they've thrown it in the back of their car. It's so small. I've seen people drive. I've seen people just take it on the subway. That's how, I mean, it's mostly men because it's not 5 pounds, everybody. It's not that light. But I could actually take it to the subway, you know, put it right near me, and then I'd have to walk it home. And it's a little heavier, but it's not like one of those huge cumbersome things. Like I said, mine is about 12 by 12 by 10 as I'm looking at it. And Lexmark has some really great ones. You saw years ago, Lexmarks were not as good as they were. Now they're pretty much so much better than some of the others. They have the multi-purpose scanners. Dell, of course, they're really one of the leaders in that. I have a Dell, and it's very, very good. And I pretty much, it's funny, sometimes I just work the printer a lot. Sometimes I just work the scanner a lot. And if I have not worked the fax in a long time, I can just go right back. It's just like I never left. So
yeah.
That's another thing about some of the multi-purposes is when
they're very intuitive.
Very much so. Now, these today, years ago, the ones, they've really come forward. And, you know, that is one thing I kind of wanted to say, because I've had people who've been very, they had some trepidation about upgrading their computer. And one of the reasons is because the technology is changing so quickly. Why should I get something now when in a year it's going to be obsolete?
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
how do you answer? I mean, I have an answer, but what's yours?
You know what? It happens. It might not be obsolete, but is it what is good for you at this point in your business? What is best for you in your life right now? Same thing with a car. There's always new cars coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always new cars coming out. So if I get a car this year, it's 2009, well, wait a minute, there's even better hybrids that are coming out in 2010 and 2012. There's some great hybrids that are coming out. Mm-hmm. I saw some of the mock-ups. So should I wait to 2012 and not have a car for that period of time? What do I need right now? I kind of joke with people, you know, just do it, make the decision, and it's going to be the right decision for you right now.
Well, just make sure your operating system can take care of all of the processes and systems you need, and really that's all you have to do.
That's right.
I mean, if you're operating off of Windows 98, it's unlikely that you can work at the level that we work at.
That's true.
But if you're working at on XP, you're good to go.
Right. I have told people that, you know, absolutely, you're on XP. Absolutely. If you're on XP and you're working well now, then maybe you just get a little bit of an upgrade, not necessarily to Office 2007, but maybe you just get a little bit of a device upgrade. Because if you're not a virtual assistant, as a virtual assistant and a computer coach, I do need to be up to date with everything. So I need to be on the cutting edge of everything. Someone, again, who's a Reiki master, he does have brochures that he sends out and certain things he faxes out and he might scan and copy. He's perfectly fine with his XP system until he, you know, wants to go beyond that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's again, that assessment, what you've done, how you evaluated what you've done and what you need, and how you give your output to clients. So just as I'm so glad you talked about the multi-purpose, because it's just funny, because I have told people, you know, don't even bother to get just a regular printer now. Just get the multi-purpose one. It's just best for you.
Well, unless you have an awful lot of room and a lot of outlets in the room that you're going to be placing this equipment, there's no point, because you'll have a countertop full. You know, you'll have a fax over here. You'll have a copier over here. Mm-hmm. You'll have a printer over here. And you'll probably have a coffee machine next to all of it, because you're going to be very tired at the end of that run. So it just makes sense to get the multi-purpose. They're under $200, no matter where you go. They're excellent machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I really don't remember how I coped before I got mine, but you do. So that kind of covers the immediate needs, does it? Or is there something that I missed there?
Well, also the immediate need is, well, are you going to go with perhaps a laptop or a desktop computer? That's kind of the immediate thing, because some people say, oh, I want to get a new laptop, and they're just going to do absolutely nothing with their laptop but leave it on their desk the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're just going to leave it on your desk the whole time, what is the purpose of getting a very cool laptop?
Exactly.
So I could say I have a very cool laptop.
Exactly. Now, some of the new laptops, I have to say I have computer envy when I look at them.
Yes, they are beautiful.
My husband has a beautiful one. But he's a software engineer, so he uses it daily.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to unplug that thing, pack it up, put it on my desk, I'd probably run over it. I don't have the patience. But I know some people, they just want that. And you know what happens? And I've seen this time and time again. They'll buy this extraordinary laptop, dock it, get a regular keyboard, and then get another monitor.
Yes.
So what the heck did you just do?
Why?
You don't like the keyboard on the laptop, so why did you buy the laptop?
Right.
To me.
Absolutely.
And I see it a lot. Says, well, I might travel. Well, maybe. But it's far more expensive to buy that laptop than it is to put together a custom-built desktop.
Absolutely. Custom-built desktops are, again, they've come down in price incredibly and very much. They're more easily upgradable, actually, much more easily upgradable. with your with a desktop. And another thing with the laptop, if you do feel, just kind of one little caveat, everybody who says, well, you know, I do travel, because like you said, the software engineer, also you're a web designer, you might be taking your web design, you know, perhaps even a treatment or a report to a client. You know, you're taking something to a client, so you take your laptop with you. You are using something that you do need. Don't get anything, try not to get something that's too heavy. And you say, well, about 8 pounds is not too heavy, 9 pounds. The rule of thumb is that if your laptop, let's say, is 8 pounds, by the time, just as you said, by the time you pack it up, put everything in there, it's almost the same amount of weight, so it's double that you'll be carrying with you.
Yeah, that padded
case,
absolutely.
If it's 8 pounds, then you'll be really carrying 16.
And that leads us straight into zip drives.
Oh, yeah. Zip drive, yeah. Definitely.
That, you know, I've always had a strong belief in a higher power, but the day I found a zip drive, I knew there was a God.
Yes.
It's like, okay, thank you. But now, explain to people what zip drives are, because it's amazing to me how many people go, what are you talking about? And they're very handy-dandy. Mine is in my wallet all the time.
Uh-huh. And I love the little flash drives, too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah, zip drive is almost like, you can even say it's a mini version of everything that's on your computer that you save on it. So you could save as much as you like on your zip drive. Like I said, you're doing a particular proposal for a company.
Mm-hmm.
If you speak to them and say, well, I'm going to bring my zip drive with me with all of my information, can I use a computer there? And 99.99% of the time they're fine with that, as long as you mention it to them beforehand. You put all of your proposal and everything on there and all of your ancillary documents. In fact, I know some people who they have so much, they put everything, virtually everything on their computer. Well, Crystal, should we just put everything on there? I said, well, if you can, yeah, but you're not going to need about 80% of it. And also, just like you said, you know, I'm running through Atlanta Airport, which is huge, or Dulles or something, and I can just throw that in my pocketbook. If I'm just doing a one-day business trip, I don't have to carry a huge amount of luggage. I don't have to check anything. I can just put it, and just as a woman, we can just have it in our pocketbooks and go and just have our business suit, and the only extra bag I might have is my sneakers and my shoes. So.
Right.
I'm
have
good.
A BlackBerry, and you're good. One caveat to that, though, if you are going to talk to somebody and say, listen, I have my presentations or my PowerPoint and my Word document, my Excel spreadsheet, whatever it is, on a zip drive, make good and sure you know what operating system that they're working off of.
Yes.
Because you may be working at a much higher level of Microsoft Office or the Office Suites, and you get over there and they're running an old version of XP or 98, and nothing works, and it can be very embarrassing.
Absolutely.
Make sure that you understand what kind of system they're running with, and once you agree that you're compatible, you can leave a lot of luggage behind. You don't have to carry it with you.
Absolutely. And it comes to one of the next things I wanted to talk about, which were the applications. But also, it's funny, I had a client, and this has happened to me, Denise, it's probably happened to you, where you've called someone and say, well, we have, you know, whatever the item is, even an older version of Word. I have Word 2003 on my system. What version of Office do you guys have there? And if the two dreaded words, they say three dreaded words,
know.
I don't know. So you know
those
it, right?
Those are the words that make your stomach hurt. I don't know.
And then you get there, and that person, it could even be they have a Mac, and I'm not saying anything against Macs, but this is what I find with a lot of holistic businesses, holistic healers, they've really gravitated towards Macs. Of course, the graphical community, photographers, anyone in media, they've really, well, Macs were pretty much, they're great for those type of businesses. But holistic businesses have really felt that it's kind of all-encompassing, so they want to get a Mac. So if you're going to a holistic type business and they have a Mac, you need to keep that in mind also. Because if you're working on Office and they're working on a Mac, there might be some conversions you might have to do. And again, just you said, you don't want to be embarrassed. You might as well do that beforehand. And the I don't know, get somebody who does. You get relentless.
Yeah.
Actually, I've had people who said, you know, they liked that I was relentless about my pursuit of helping them before they even got there. And that was, before you even got to the interview or whatever, it's like you've asked them 50 questions, and it's like, now you're prepared.
You're right. There's no better way to lose your credibility than to walk in and absolutely waste yours and their time.
Absolutely.
They're not going to let you back in the door. And if they do, shame on them.
It's funny, when I was at a company, when I was the trainer, they called me and they said, could we use the training room for our training? And I said, sure, here's the stipulations. What do you need? And they said, this is what we need. And then they got to our system and they hadn't converted everything, and it was just that they didn't do as much research. And I mentioned to them, I even sent them an email with what we had in the room, and they said, oh, that's fine, we don't need any more. So if you tell me that, of course I'm thinking you don't need any more. So their class, as opposed to starting at 10 o'clock, didn't start till 11:30.
Oh.
Because we had to get our technical people to come in and fix things, and it was last minute, and they're doing other things besides fixing everything so they can get it upgraded in some cases and downgraded in others. And it's also time. It's business. It's time, because those people who were thinking they were going to be there from 10 to 12 were there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So that's another thing. Now I can't do my work until 3:30 when I get back
to
my desk.
And what happens
so
when you're dealing with a slightly resentful crowd? They really don't listen to you.
Right, absolutely.
You know, if you're really paying attention to the kind of faces and the demeanor of the people around you. Now, I have not had this happen to me, because
mm-hmm.
I'm like you. I'm brutal about it. I need this done. I need to know about this. And when I come in, you know, I have time to do this, this, and this, and we all have to be prepared. But I have been on the other end of that. And
right.
Honestly, what happens is you get that kind of crowd or herd mentality.
Yes.
We're all slightly ticked off.
Yes.
And we're really not going to take the person who is fumbling around very seriously. We may think they're a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
We may like their outfit. We may think that he's a good-looking guy. But we're not going to take them seriously. And that's a
Absolutely.
Shame.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you so
be prepared. And always try to
Absolutely.
Kind of intuit what you're going to be looking for, just in case.
Mm-hmm. And these are questions, if you don't know the questions, sometimes there's people there who are familiar with things. Again, just like you said, we're kind of relentless with our quest for having things correct. So if you're not the right person, Crystal, so who would be?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that too. And you know this, as when you're coming from an education or training standpoint, we're human beings. We don't know everything, so we find out who does.
Somebody else does. And oftentimes I have found this out in dealing with bureaucrats. The B word. But my response to them is invariably, if I don't get the answer I want from the person who is not being helpful on the phone,
mm.
I hang up and I try again, and I get
right.
a different person. And eventually I get the answer I'm after.
Absolutely.
But I just don't take that first answer ever.
Absolutely, yeah. And sometimes even a manager, even from a customer service standpoint, I know some customer service people are probably thinking, uh-oh, is she going to say something bad? Not really.
No,
sometimes
not
the manager doesn't know as much as the person that's a journeyman type
right.
person.
There's always somebody who has the answer. Just find that
Absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
That takes care of the immediate needs. So we've got mm-hmm. computers. We've covered
mm-hmm.
The zip drives. And
mm-hmm.
now let's talk about software.
Right, software. And again,
software's
it's
important.
Funny. Absolutely. And I normally talk about this as an immediate need and perhaps a future need. Anything, immediate need is anything you need right now to probably within 6 months. So you might not need to get a zip drive. You're starting your new business in January, but you can get it in February or March before you have that big conference, you know. You do need it, but you don't necessarily need it January 1st. You see what I'm saying? But you do get it as soon as possible within the 6 months. Software is something that, yes, you definitely need it immediately, but you can also build on it. You can also build as you go. Now, with software, it depends, again, what type of operating system do you have. Do you have an MS Office, which actually I've heard 75% of the world, it's 78. I'm looking at something. 78% of the world has Microsoft Office. And Macs are basically most of the rest, with about 2% with Linux systems. That's another operating system. But most people have MS Office in their homes. They have it in their businesses. And then there's also Macs. And again,
no, we have it on our BlackBerries too.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, and then again, which application can, you know, when you have your other devices, what will be comparable to them? You know, also. So, so Macintoshes, what type of business are you in? Just as we talked a little bit about before, a lot of people who, I know a lot of people who are photographers and performing arts and media in one way or another, they've really embraced Macs, which is great because there's a lot of different applications that as a media person that you really do need. So if you are a filmmaker or if you mix music, you need those applications on your computer. You need those today. Do you need Word?
Oh, God, yes.
You do need Word.
But I make my grocery list with Word. Are you kidding me? Everything. I have documents open. Like I said, I have a dual monitor system.
Uh-huh.
I may have, one day I counted, and it was 2 days ago, I looked down at my system tray, you know, down at my bars at the bottom, I had 8 Word documents open.
Wow.
Simultaneously.
Okay.
I was so impressed. I had to take a break. I needed to go think about it.
And then
that.
You had a blue party afterward. Right?
I was like, wow, I'm smart. Look at me.
I know. It's funny you say that because I personally feel everyone should have some type of Word type document. And I hope I don't ruffle any feathers, but please don't get Works, W-O-R-K-S.
Yeah,
please don't get Works. Again, another four-letter word. I'm sorry. But Works, I've had people who've gone to get their computer, and then the computer, allegedly the computer salesperson, has said, oh, it's just like Word, W-O-R-D.
No, it's not.
It is not, yes. If that's our mantra for the net today, Works is not like Word. It's actually better to get WordPad or, you know, if you're just going to do something real simple, WordPad or something like that. I would suggest, though, even on Macs, they have Microsoft Word on there. They have Microsoft Word. They have something.
Well, it's the universal document system. I mean, it's
absolutely
really best to go with what everybody else is using.
Mm-hmm.
I've had clients send me documents that I could not open them. And
yes.
They'll say, well, go online and find the program that will open this. Can't be done. Look,
and it can't, right. Absolutely.
I'm a technophobe. I find things on the Internet. There's not a whole lot that hides from me on the Internet. I can't open those documents.
I know. I just got that recently. It said that it was an RTF file. So I said, oh, well, maybe this is an old WordPerfect file. And you can open some WordPerfect files in Microsoft Word. I have Word on my computer here. I could not open it. In fact, when I emailed this gentleman back, I said, I couldn't open it. Could you give me the information? It wasn't just me. It was out of, I think he sent out to about 60 people about 50 people could not open the file. And the others didn't know how to do attachments. So he just sent it all. He just copied and pasted it in his email.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was just easier. So I said to him when I saw him, actually, I saw him 2 days ago. He said, I said, well, maybe the file was corrupted. And he didn't know what that was. He didn't know what that was. So I think because it had been, perhaps it was an old WordPerfect file, that it had been it had been converted to Word, then converted back to WordPerfect, and gone back and forth and back and forth. Because he said the person
corrupted.
He's collaborating with has Word. So I said, oh, that's what it is. And then it's so funny. Then the last thing he said to me, well, you're the geek,
people.
Right?
No, I'm only half geek.
I love that.
Only half.
Yes. On my mother's side, I'm a half geek. Yes.
That's right. That is absolutely right. So
absolutely.
Let's go back to software applications because, I mean, Word is critical. Word is absolutely critical.
Yeah. Word is critical.
I think the Office Suite, truthfully, because I use a lot of
absolutely.
PowerPoint. I use Excel. Of course, being a web developer, I'm in, you know, all of the HTML editors. I have several, but not everybody needs that. But you do need Notepad.
Yeah, you
really need to have access to Notepad.
Right.
And if you want to do, you know, brochures or documents, you need to have, what is it, Microsoft Publisher?
Publisher is very good. And when you get the full suite of MS Office, you'll probably get Word, Excel. Excel is great if you want to just do some rudimentary type of calculations. If you're a financial planner, of course, Excel is excellent for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually create some macros for that. So that's if you're doing a lot of money in business. Now, if you're paying people, you might want to get QuickBooks or Quicken. That's different.
Right.
Excel just does the calculations. QuickBooks and Quicken, two different systems, they can actually print out checks. They can connect to your bank account, your business bank account. Oh, there's also Microsoft Money, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah.
QuickBooks and Quicken are pretty much the two that are. But that's, like I said, if you're paying people, so you have three or four employees that you need to pay
right.
by check, and you don't want to write a hand check, you can do it that way. But definitely for MS Office Suite, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Now, for email, you also might want to use Outlook for your email system. Outlook is a great system, and most businesses have Microsoft Outlook now, which
right.
is not just a – it's kind of a rudimentary type of contact management system also. And I know people might say, rudimentary for Outlook? But there's other systems that all they do is they look at your contacts, when was the last time you spoke with them, and they might track how long you spoke with them, who you know them from, where you met them from a marketing place,
right.
How long you've worked with them, how can they help you, who else they know. Outlook doesn't do it to that extent. You basically have to do it manually. So Outlook, a great thing about Outlook, of course, it has your email. It has like an electronic Rolodex where it has your contacts. It also has tasks or to-dos, and it has
yeah,
your schedule.
Calendar. I use that calendar and that scheduling every day.
Right.
Another thing about Outlook, too, that people may not realize is when you – a lot of external applications are now able to post directly to your calendar.
Right.
For instance, this morning I had a consultation with a client, or she's not really a client, but it's a consultation as opposed to a virtual assistant client.
Mm-hmm.
And I set it up with free conference call, going back to what you were speaking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up with free conference. It said, do you want to post this to your calendar? And I clicked the button yes, and my calendar was populated. I didn't have to do anything else.
Absolutely.
Not
it
only
went
did
right
it set
in.
Up the appointment, it told me what the telephone number was. It told me what the PIN was. It gave me all of the information I needed, who I was speaking to, the note that
mm-hmm.
I had written her. Everything was there, and I did not have to open it up, cut and paste, copy, do anything. It's automatic.
It does it
so,
in one click. Just as
yeah.
you said, we want to make things as easy for our clients, and if they make things easy for us, of course, that's all the more better.
Right.
Another thing it does is that if you're in, like I'm in the Eastern time zone, you're in Central, it'll make that calculation
it
for
you. It makes
the
transition, absolutely.
So it does that out immediately. I know the same thing with me. I'm talking to people, like I said, in Europe, India, Australia, and when I've clicked on that, bam, it's like I'm always asking people, what time is it where you are? I'm a pretty smart person, but I never remember that it's 9 hours in India, 6 or 7 in Europe, parts of Europe, 12 in parts of Australia. I never remember that, but with Outlook, I can just click and have that immediately somebody says this time, and I don't have to go back later and say, wait a minute, is that the right time for me, or am I going to be talking to this person at 2:30 in the morning? 2:30 a.m. and it's actually I should have chosen something else. So
right. Let me back up just a little bit to the software
mm-hmm.
we were talking about, Microsoft
right.
Office Suite. That is typically part of the software that is automatically loaded to your computer when you buy it. However, Quicken and Microsoft Money, these are systems that you will have to pay for. These
right.
are things that you buy, they're standalone products. So don't go ask for a computer that has these on them. You'll have to purchase those separately and,
right.
Put them on your computer.
Right. So those, and sometimes even with the MS Office Suite, there's parts of it, and Denise, you know this, sometimes it'll give you Word and Excel, but it might not give you PowerPoint. And if you're going to be
yeah.
doing some presentations for people, it might
make
not
sure
even
give
you a publisher.
The entire suite. Yeah,
yeah, you just got to do something just a little bit higher.
Yeah,
just a little
get the
bit higher.
Suite. Yeah,
and
now this
bit
is
for
of it that you'll use.
I know, and this is for people who actually, Microsoft Access is if you have a very large database of clients and you want to do, it's a database, it's more than just names and everything. You can actually filter certain names out. You can do some research on it. If you're interested in access, if the person who actually thinks they want access probably needs it. Most people say, what's access? They really don't need it. I don't want to put access down. Anyone who uses Microsoft Access for a database, just a collection of names, and you're going to be performing different filtering tasks with it, then you need access. I said, oh, wow, after you read about it, yes, I do that on a regular basis. Then, yes, you should get it. But someone that's, again, a holistic business, virtual assistant might need it depending on how many people they work with. A doctor might need it. A doctor might need it. An attorney might need it. An attorney might need it, actually. It's funny, I know someone who uses Access for court dates. If they say something will be back in 60 days, you don't have to. You could do it in Excel, but in Access it's even easier to do it. You can print up reports. Like I say, if you feel you need Access, get it. Most people really don't need it. I've had a lot of people who've asked me that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we have several people that are kind of hanging out in the green room.
Oh.
And we're about to end this call. We will keep on going. It will keep on streaming, but it will cut off on the Internet. Let me take a call very quickly. Do you have time to answer some questions?
Absolutely. I hope everybody in the green room doesn't have all the muffins and everything.
Green room?
I'm green room. I'm just kidding.
Okay, I am going to try to get somebody. This phone number is 408-293-5210. And we'll see if we can get them on the line. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who is
this? That's it. Just put my phone number out over the air.
Judy.
It's the journaling genius. How are you?
I'm just lovely.
I'm so happy to be amongst all these sister geekettes.
How pathetic are we?
I know.
Okay, for those of you who do not know, Judy Peebles is the journaling genius. And recently I bought this gorgeous pink journal from her. It's so cute. Judy, I need a new one.
You know where my website is. You can go order one.
No.
It's thejournalinggenius.com. That's genius with a J for Judy.
You know what I did? I used it as a to-do list instead of a journal, so I actually need a new one. So what is your question for Crystal?
Actually, my question is something that I've been pondering. As you know, Denise, I came out of corporate, and I was always implementing CRM systems and ERP systems and so on. Now that I'm in my own business, and just for Crystal, I actually do business skills training and coaching and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear you mention Access. That doesn't really appeal to me. I'm looking at more of a fuller CRM system. A lot of people have said Constant Contact or there's Salesforce.com. Do you have any recommendations on that for tracking clients and things like that?
Yeah, Constant, it's funny you were going to say that because Constant Contact does have, and that's an online system. Constant Contact is good for that. My question to you is how many people are we talking about? Because you might need something a little more high-end than Constant Contact. I don't know what the maximum is for that.
Well, that's why I was looking at something like Salesforce.com. I mean, ultimately, I plan to do worldwide speaking, and so I'm going to have thousands of contacts. I already have quite a few.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you need to be able to have something that would really grow as you grow. Absolutely.
And so I can track customers, whether they purchase product or whether they've been to a workshop and all that. So it really needs to be a really comprehensive CRM system.
Right. And all you have to do with Salesforce and with Constant Contact is you just put the information in and it can do the rest. You can even ask it like an English-type question. That's one of the drawbacks of Access is you kind of have to know the way Access talks and thinks. So to do any type of filter, less than and greater than, but as opposed to Constant Contact and everything, all you have to do is say, I'm looking for someone in New York, and it will actually find someone for you, someone with this particular skill. And if you've placed it in your Constant Contact list, that's great. So those, actually, they're both good. I think for you, you might want to do the Salesforce is a little more, it can grow with you. I don't know the prices offhand, though. I don't know the prices offhand and for how many, because I think for some, you, if you have less than 1,000, there's a price, and less than 10,000, and so on, 100,000, 150,000, then you call them, and they can work something out with you.
Okay.
AWeber, if you can hear me, this is Julia, the transcription lady. AWeber is real popular, too, and that's about $20 a month.
Mm-hmm. Now, with AWeber, I don't remember also, do you, is there a limit? I don't remember. Is there a limit to...
No,
yeah,
there's
okay.
not. Mm-hmm. It's $19.95 a month, and you can do whatever you want in it.
All right, that's cool. Then eye contact is good for someone kind of just starting out because there's three accounts in there. But anyone who have, you know, regular clients, AWeber, contact, I know a lot of people who use that AWeber. And all of those are good, just depending.
Thank you very much.
Julie, didn't we put you in one shopping cart?
Yeah.
Not Julia. I'm sorry, Judy.
Judy.
We put you in one shopping cart, but here's the problem. Unless you're a geekette, somebody called me a geekette in the green room, by the way. I'm not going to mention any names.
Wasn't me.
Oh, I wasn't going to say. I wasn't going to say.
I'll tell of myself.
All right. But anyway, the problem with one shopping cart, unless you are a total nerd, as I am, it's very, very difficult to work, and you have to have some technical ability.
Well, and so I need something that will actually track. Everybody's not going to buy through the website. I sell a lot of product direct at my workshops, so
right.
I need to actually be able to track those sales as well and workshop attendees and things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will go on a hunt, and I bet Crystal will, too, because now we're curious.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? As you were saying it, I'm writing it down. It's like, see, we all learn from each other. No matter
well,
what.
And just as I am using, I'm using a Neat Receipts scanner that's actually very cool. It does actually scans business cards and receipts, and it'll scan full-size documents, so you don't have to have multiple scanners. So I can scan in my business cards, and it's very good at translating them into the database, and then you can export that to whatever. So that's where I'm collecting the data at the moment until I decide what database I'm going to use.
Right.
Do me a favor and send me a link to that.
Okay.
I like to find neat little, you know, geeky tools.
Yeah, I love tools. Okay. So, and when you question for you, when you scan it for right now, because you don't have for the contact management, how are you adding it now? Are you just putting it like in a Word document, an Excel file?
Right now, yeah, it's just scanning. It's a proprietary database, and then I can export it to Excel.
Oh, okay, yeah, and that's a great thing. Yeah, well, that is wonderful. I like that one, too.
And I'm enough of a geek yet that I can manage Excel quite well. I'm a spreadsheet queen.
Yeah, I love Excel.